Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, my French roommate, Alex, who will be remaining nameless because he knows a lot about Facebook. He knows too much about Facebook. How your information can be sold, how your information can be out there, and advertising companies, governments, giant corporations can use your information against you. Also insurance companies. Tell me how insurance companies are using Facebook. You're a computer science major.
Hi, everybody. So, you want to start with insurance company?
Yeah. So, how Facebook insurance... Okay, so you're my roommate as well. We go to the University of New Orleans, where Privateer Place is our dormitory. That's where we're recording from, right near Levy. So that's how we know each other. This fucking guy. He's been scaring the shit out of me for the last two or three days, because he's a computer science major. He knows all the Facebook secrets and stuff like this, and he's lectured. He's been lectured by French intelligence agents who know really what's behind, Facebook and what it's used for on the intelligence services and intelligence agencies.
Okay, so. Can you imagine that somebody wants to have an insurance for a car, and so he went to a company, and this company asked for his name, and when he give his name, the company can have some relationship with Facebook, and Facebook will sell. Some picture of this person to the company, and from now the company is able to know if this person is drinking, smoking, if this person often go at party or not, and with this information, the price of insurance can be higher or lower.
So if all your pictures are you sitting around having tea with a bunch of Christians, then you might get a lower auto insurance rate than if all your pictures are of you like drunk, upside down, like knocking shit over.
Yes, exactly.
So is it the percentage of your photos that you're drinking? Like, how do they...
I don't know how the algorithm works.
Right.
It's not hand for the moment. So they are for the company.
So now, I'm kind of an idiot, and you told me this, and then I put... This is my Facebook feed of me partying in the French Quarter last night with a bunch of new friends and roommates and stuff like this. Do you think that this is probably incriminating evidence for the insurance company, right? I might have a problem later
maybe
on.
Maybe yes, maybe not. For example, in this first photo we can see four people, but
because I don't have a beer in my hand in the picture,
yes,
I might be
you
okay.
Don't have a beer, but one of your roommates has a bottle on his hand. We cannot see what kind of bottle, but maybe the algorithm can have a doubt.
So an algorithm goes through the
algorithm which will make a picture analyzed.
So a person doesn't click through.
No,
a computer
scans. A computer
scans.
Make all the work.
What?
Because it's too much work for one people to look for whole picture. Some person have 1,000 picture on their profile, so it's too long. And now computer are enough powerful to make this work.
Whoa.
And it's very easy. You can see on Facebook when you put a new picture, Facebook is able to recognize a face. So from now we can be sure it can recognize a Heineken beer.
Mm. That's true. You know, Facebook a little while ago used to automatically always tag my picture. When I would put a picture of myself, it would always tag me in the picture. But recently it stopped doing that, almost to like make it, try to make it a secret again that they can't facial recognize.
Yes, maybe this information is not on the screen, but probably for intelligence service, or maybe for people who buy picture from Facebook, this information are available.
So every time you upload a picture to Facebook, Facebook owns the rights to redistribute and sell.
Yes, when you put a picture on Facebook, this picture stop to be your property. Your property, yes. So Facebook can do what you want with this picture. So it's not illegal.
Also, every time you put in a Google search, I'm very paranoid because they know the kind of pornos I like. They know all the kind of weird shit I'm into. You know what I mean? Google. So every time you type in anything into Google, they like the words that you type in are like not your property too, and they can sell the bulk of all of your searches to a company, to advertising companies too, right?
Yes, Google is able to give and to write all the life of a person, because by the research of people, you can know his life. For example, if he's happy or not, if he travels or not, if he's working or not, if he has a car, if he has a wife or child. So from that, and with, for example, Facebook information, by crossing information,
yeah,
we can know what we want of, they can know what you want from a person. So that's why Facebook, Google, probably Microsoft work with government, because they have the best source
of information.
Oh,
so the government buys information constantly from...
I'm not sure they buy information. Maybe they just ask for them. And in exchange, they...
Are the governments kind of paranoid about their own population to that they are constantly asking Google and Facebook for information on their own population? Like, it seems like they're paranoid. Because why else would you want to obsessively categorize every single person and their habits?
I don't know what's the real reason for that. Maybe security is one of them. I also think that they want to have I don't know how to say that. The population state of
mind.
State of mind. For example, if a president wants to be re-elected, this kind of this information can be very useful. For example, if during an election, people talk a lot about war or about I don't know, job or something like that, the president who wants to be re-elected can have this information, so he can talk about Iraq war, about what he thinks to do for helping people who don't have job, etc. And it's a very powerful way to control and to influence people every day and naturally.
Right. So they can, like, you know, create a politician, you know, like, it's no longer like a politician will, like, have his own ideas and, like, want to change something.
Mm-hmm.
He'll customize his policies based on data collected from Google and what people want to hear, and then he'll just spout it out.
Yes, but it's exactly what they do. But I think this power is just using for talking. But in the reality, they don't act. They never act they never act how we want they act. We consider a politician man as liars very often, but they are elected because of their speech, and I think their speech can be managed in function of what people think and what Google, Facebook give to the government.
You were also saying that, like, for every person with their IP address, advertising companies profile everyone by having a million points of contact to fill out someone's personality.
Yes.
Right?
Today, with a mobile phone, computer, and also cars, for example, credit cards, all that technical, I don't know the name of it.
Information, just
technical terms. Okay, we can have a profile. We can describe a person with a million of different
variables.
Items.
Or yeah, variables. Items. Yeah, yeah.
And it was not the case 10 or 5 years before. So it's very interesting because we can also...
Probably in 2 years from now, it'll be 10 million variables.
Ah, yes, for sure. Because of connected object. I don't know if we say that in English, connected object, like watch,
mm-hmm.
watches, and all the little thing we use
that are connected to the internet,
yes, and
can send information back to the
yes.
CIA and NSA,
yes.
and they build a profile.
Mm. So it's, all this information can be used to make different category of
mm-hmm.
people, and so much information, much items we have, much category we can create, much. Parameters we can consider, and so we can describe better and better the population.
It almost sounds like something out of like an Orwellian novel where, like, once you're born, they'll take your blood so they know the exact sequence of your DNA,
mm-hmm.
and then based on your Facebook and Google searches, they can fill out other metadata. Like, they might know your personality from your blood, you know, or like your habits or the diseases that you might be prone to getting, and then or, you know, your genetic disposition, how strong you're gonna be, how what your diet is like, or stuff like this, what kind of, if you have mental illness history, and then they combine that with your Google searches and they'll just have a soup of a very accurate account of someone's personality for means of advertising to them on their Amazon account or advertising to them on their sponsored links on Google, so that you can spend money as efficiently as the machine wants you to.
Yes, that's possible. I think it's possible. And it's one of the interesting thing about big data. We can, from very different type of data,
mm-hmm.
we can find a relation mm-hmm. relation between them. We will verify this model with another sample of population, and if it's good, if it works, we can apply this model to the whole data we want. And if it's not true, we can adapt the model. Mm. So
they do like small scale experiments to see if they really know how to map everybody's mm-hmm. brain, and once they perfect it, then they implement it across the board.
Yes, that's exactly it.
So you also told me an interesting story that you were in France in a computer science group, and then someone came from the French intelligence service and he scared the hell out of the whole classroom. And who was this guy, and who was this shadowy figure, and what kind of things did he reveal to you?
It was a guy, it was not really a teacher, it was a guy I met in a meeting, and he, I don't know where exactly he works, but I know that his job is to sell
technology.
Very high technology system, and the best customer for this type of product mm-hmm. are often country, state,
right.
government.
So he was a private person who had a small company.
I don't know.
He's a shadowy figure. He didn't tell you.
He can't.
So, what kind of information did he let you in on?
He let us know that whole communication can be analyzed by a system, very high technology system, which is able to read of whole communication, and so from this communication, from this data, which pass by operator system, mm-hmm. like for example T-Mobile in United States, they are able to make statistics to detect any interesting information they want. So this machine analyzes all the traffic of information, and we can ask them what we want. For example, when people is sending a mail to this person, make an alert sound. So it's very, very powerful, and moreover, this machine can modify information, and when we know how much information are already circulated on the network,
mm-hmm.
it's very impressive to know that this system is able to modify in real time information, because it needs to be very, very fast.
So what you're saying is, as the person that's being tracked, like if the government wants to spy on somebody, you know, wherever their phone goes, like they can GPS locate them. Every time they send a new text message in real time, this system updates, and they can be tracked.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
Okay. Whew. So where is this all going? Why is everyone's being tracked? Why is all this money getting pumped into a system of obsessive control of their population?
I think the reason is very simple. As we know from a very long time, the knowledge is the power. And that's all.
Mm.
People at the head of state want to know to be more powerful.
Yeah, it just almost seems like you're, it's, You're saying also like privacy every year is going to be less and less. And right before we recorded this podcast, I wanted to be your make sure that we were Facebook friends. And normally, whenever I have a guest on the podcast, I tag their name, and so then all their friends can listen and download the podcast. And then every time I do that, like my listenership grows because I expand my network and stuff like this. And so more and more people listen. And you told me, hey, listen, you're not going to tag me on this thing because you know the power of Facebook and how your stuff can be tracked 20, 30, 40 years from now. And do you want to talk about that? I'm totally fine. You know, that I totally respect that decision because, you know, Facebook, if the insurance company is using an algorithm to go through your photos, like, you know, and the second I post a link to Facebook, all of a sudden, like, it's out of your hands, you know, and it can be sold for whatever means. It's almost like you know so much about the inside of the system that you're super careful about what happens on Facebook.
Yes, I think Facebook is very dangerous, and I hope people will realize that, because maybe it's a fantastic way to communicate, and it's really interesting to use Facebook for many things. I think a lot of people are very unconscious when they put all their life, all their private life on Facebook. And we know a lot of things about bad story, a person who said bad thing about his boss, for example, and because he was not able to correctly protect his Facebook account, his boss finally learned about this story and
fire him.
Yes. So I think Facebook is very dangerous, and less we put on Facebook and more free we are.
See, it's interesting because, you know, like, it's this weird thing, like, every time you break up with a girlfriend or something like this, you kind of, like, want to put a bunch of pictures on Facebook to show, like, you know, I'm not upset by the breakup. Look at my happy life. You know, I'm getting on. I'm doing fine. Look at all my cool life. Everyone wants to have, like, a magazine to show the world an image of themselves. I look at Facebook and the way people use it, and I'm no exception to this, as like, leaf through my perfect magazine of my life. And, you know, nobody puts on Facebook their past due credit card bills or any kind of bill they can't pay and like take a photo of like past due, you know, it's 2 weeks, urgent, you have to pay us money or we're going to shut your electricity off. No one puts that picture on Facebook of them like struggling in poverty. They only put like if they have a nice sandwich, they'll take a picture of that and put it on Facebook, you know, to make everyone think that their life is perfect. And so it's almost like that instinct of you know, trying to project a good appearance is being sucked in by the CIA, is being sucked in by the NSA and advertising companies, and used their own vanity against them in order to collect information and make a million checkpoint profile on you.
Yes. Yes, people do. I think people try to put on Facebook not their real personality, but probably probably they make a big mistake, because I think it needs a very high level of concentration to not make any mistake, and we can't control what whole other people say about us. And when somebody posts something on our profile, you can't control it, and whatever you do, finally some real aspect of your personality came back and are visible on Facebook. And we talked about an insurance company which buy photo of Facebook, but we can also imagine, for example, your future boss, and when you come to find a job, he take your name, phone to call to Facebook, and Facebook sell him information about you, and so if you drink too much, if you smoke, if you often change of girlfriend, he can change his decision about engage you or not.
Right.
So
the thinking there is if you have a lot of different girlfriends and maybe you'll leave the job because you're a fickle
or
person?
Because you're... I don't know what people can imagine of your life, but it's very dangerous to put information and... Because when an information is on Facebook, you don't know how people can interpret
use the information against
information.
It.
So it's very very dangerous, and people have to be very careful.
So you were saying before about how, like, every time you have a photo on Facebook, whether or not Facebook lets you tag your own picture, they know internally with facial recognition software who is who, and what other things are attached to a photograph that we can't see on Facebook?
Probably, certainly the date. If the picture has been taken by a mobile phone, probably we can find the location,
the date, time it was taken,
and the geographic position,
the GPS position.
Maybe we can have. I don't know type of mobile, type of camera, and I don't know where this photo from where this photo has been put on Facebook, which computer, which phone. Put this photo on Facebook. So from this information we can know many things, where you were, with who, what type of mobile you have, and that's not freedom, that's very very, I don't know the word for that.
And it's kind of creepy because you don't see, you know, it doesn't show you on Facebook all this other information, but that's kind of stored, embedded into the photo, and then that information can be summoned by just through backdoor channels, through, like, you know, we see a side of Facebook, and then the people who own Facebook see it, have a different set of tools.
Yes, of course, and. We can they can add all the other information they have about you and your friend. So if they have the geographic situation, maybe the date or something like that, they can add this information to your current profile, so they know that at this time you have or not a girlfriend, that you were working in this or this company. So they can make a real profile of your life. And I think people who use Facebook don't want that.
It's very interesting because there was There's a guy called Karl Rove, who's a someone who helps presidents become presidents, okay? He helped Nixon become president, and he helped George Bush Jr. become president. And the way he got Nixon elected was he put a bug in Nixon's office, and maybe it was Reagan, one of these guys. He put a bug in his own office and then said that a bug is a listening device, mm-hmm. something, yeah. And he said that the opposing political opponent put that bug in his office so that he could listen. And when they actually analyzed the device, they said that the battery capacity would only last 15 minutes, that the range of it was only like 5 feet. And so Karl Rove put a bug in his own office and then blamed it on the other, in like dirty politics to cause a scandal so that the other guy would get elected. And now my point is, everyone is walking around with an iPhone. And the iPhone, you can't take the battery out, and it's always listening. So you're always walking around with a bug in your own pocket that can be accessed mm-hmm. by anyone. And there's a camera in the front of your iPhone and a camera in the back of your iPhone. And so anytime, you can't take the battery out of your iPhone. And anytime the CIA wants to see what you're seeing, if your camera is out, they'll just access the camera that, you know, and that's why they have one in the front and the back, you know. It would be very easy but, you know. And then they do this thing where they'll advertise, you can just take a selfie. You know, you can take a picture of yourself by holding it up and then you can see the frame. And that's their excuse for why there's a camera on both sides. But it's just more access points for the CIA. Like, you know, like it could be a picture in a medieval castle where someone puts their eye in the eye hole and then looks at people through a wall as they walk around the castle, you know. But that's what everybody has, this perfect device in their hand, which they can, you know, so a government can record at any point. And, you know, you don't see the app on your iPhone of government recording and then with the like time going up as far as when you're being recorded. They just access it. They get into the phone. They know the GPS location. And they could be recording constantly and just tap into it when they want to, or backtrace it, and an algorithm can look for keywords of what you said so they can know every conversation you've ever had.
Yes, that's true. And it's very easy to do that kind of thing. I know a story. It was a man in Germany, or Belgium, and he put on the he bought a mobile for his wife because he was very jealous man, and on this new mobile he had installed invisible app, mm-hmm. and he was. Since this moment, he was able to hear and see all what his wife doing.
Yeah.
And when she have a call or when she called somebody, he can also hear all the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only CIA or other intelligence service which are able to do these things. It's very easy, and it's very dangerous too, but against CIA you can't do anything except have a whole very old mobile or very low-cost mobile.
Yeah, I know a lot of drug dealers these days have the old flip phones, where, so that when they do business, they take the battery out, and they don't do business if anyone has an iPhone in the room, because any DEA agent can pop mm-hmm, into it, yes. and see what they're doing.
And I noticed the story of another man. We bought a very old mobile, in just for being safe, so it was an old Nokia or something like that. He you just need a mobile to send SMS and call some people. So he don't need an iPhone or something very complicated.
Right.
So he preferred to find a very old mobile, and he was very sure of his safety.
Yeah.
But it's not really a.
I know, it's like you, if you want to have like a record contract, or if you want to make it in show business, you have to like, yeah, they'll give you money and power, but you have to like sign your soul away. And like, it's like, if you, you know, want the convenience of an iPhone, they also want to take something from you. And that thing that they take from you is the fact that you can be tracked, you can be, so like the better phone you want, there's also like, it takes something from you as well, you know? So a weird analogy, but you know, for the convenience of being able to have a very fully functional computer in your pocket, which is very convenient, it's very useful.
Yes.
But you also have to give something as well.
Yes.
And that's your privacy. Your
everything has a price.
Yeah, exactly.
And for high technologies, the price is our privacy.
Yeah.
And maybe. How time, because this new technology
it saves you time.
Save you time, but you have much more thing to do.
Yeah.
Because you have more time, so. But mobile phones are very dangerous. For example, on Android, Facebook, the Facebook application
mm-hmm.
Doesn't crypt information. So if you are not so bad if you have a level in computer science, you can find all information of Facebook profile on the mobile of the person who you want. So there is a way to spy somebody is to plug a little
device, a drive.
Yes, device to a mobile, and in maybe 3 or 5 seconds, you have all the information you want. All the copy of all the mobile on this device, and so you can analyze this information, and you have a copy of all the message, email, SMS, all the contacts information, Facebook informations, and moreover you can also modify. And that's very, very dangerous. You can modify information on the mobile. For example, you can add or delete SMS. And in France, an SMS can be used for a procedure in a tribunal. When two people want to separate, they go to the
courthouse,
okay, sorry, and they want to
divorce.
Share all they have. Okay. If one of these two people can prove that the other is not a good wife or a good husband, he can have an advantage for
the divorce settlement.
The divorce.
Yeah.
For example, the children, who will keep children.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine now that you had an SMS on your wife mobile,
mm-hmm.
an SMS to a person you don't know, a guy, and this SMS say, for example, "Oh, I love you, I want to see you tonight, it was fantastic the last time," or I don't know why. And if you can show this SMS to the judge, it's a terrible advantage you have on your wife, but it's totally false. And nobody can prove that it's a false SMS. And it's very, very easy to do if we are not, if you are curious and a little bit
devious.
Devious, yes.
So you can somehow make it so that you have like a fake text message from a girlfriend to a lover in order to get an advantage in the so you would just make somehow hack into their phone, and then using their phone number you could reverse engineer a fake
today,
text message.
Today mobile phone doesn't have any secure procedure. It's very easy to hack a mobile phone. Very, very easy, and we can do what we want. All information are easy to have. That's very, very terrible. And people doesn't really realize that. For example, you put your mobile on your office, you go take coffee or something like that.
Yeah, someone plugs something in for
maybe,
3 seconds.
Maybe it takes you 2 minutes, 5 minutes, but it's enough to change your life.
Yeah. It's also interesting, like, you know, I always hear stories of people in the NSA and people in the FBI who... you know, hack into their ex-girlfriend's phones and then look at their sexy time pictures and then trade pictures with each other in the NSA or whatever and keep tabs on all their ex-girlfriends. And it's almost like it's human nature to want to check in, and you know what I mean? It's like I was saying before about you want to have this image of perfection in your life, particularly for some reason to your ex-lovers, in order to, you know what I mean? But if you had the power to type in their name into some NSA internal website and then read all their emails, why wouldn't you? It would be too tempting, you know?
Yes,
and also, Facebook turns out everyone into a stalker, you know? If you like a girl, you know, there's some girls on campus that I have my eye on, the first thing I do is I look at all their pictures and I click through and I see what their ex-boyfriends used to look like, and I just start to get paranoid, like, oh, maybe they only like this kind of guy or whatever, you know what I mean? It's just human nature. You like, if the information's there.
I think it's really difficult to be a good person. But I don't know. It's always possible to let a minimum of trace of your life. We just have to be careful, and I can't do that for everybody, so.
Well, it's good. We're trying to teach people what they can look out for.
It's not really difficult to be a minimum of discreet.
Discreet.
It's not really difficult because on Facebook we have maybe a lot of friends, yes, of course, but we can't remind all of them. So is it really useful to put whole life on Facebook? It's the question people have to ask to themselves. I think it's not useful, and I think all this picture, all your life is more interesting if
there's some mystery.
Yes, if some mystery, and if only people you like and people you want to share something with us are it's a long sentence.
No, I understand what you're saying. Like, you know, in the old times you used to have friends and the only way you would learn about them is to talk and have close relationships and to,
yes,
you know,
and
have human interaction.
Something have a value only if it can be shared with interesting people and not all the world.
What's that? We've just been joined by Toby and Borta, my roommates, and some other people. So anyway, we were talking about privacy. Do you think that this younger generation, their brains are getting broken as far as they're not good at being social with each other because their lives are on Facebook and they have social interactions on Facebook instead of either Toby, you can chime in too. You're younger than me. So you're the youngest one in the room. Do you think that your generation is being, their brains, as far as being social, is being broken because of Facebook? They like to text each other instead of talking, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Do you care to elaborate? That's just a little piece of thing for discussion, you know?
Yeah, that's difficult. I see it by myself that it's far more easy to write someone else than to talk with him face to face. It's more easy. It's comfortable. You can stay home and
be in, like, in your underwear and just, you know.
Yeah.
Do you feel like we're, like, you know, it's like good and bad where they get like a new knowledge, a new computer knowledge, which is probably good for the future, but at the same time they give up like the ability to be charismatic and to be a good talker and stuff?
You need to practice, be social, and you can't practice it if you just use a Facebook and other social media.
Are you worried about your information being out there on Facebook that could be used by corporations against you later?
Seriously, I'm not worried about that. I know that it is like this, but I'm not that important for the world that I care about it. So I don't care about it.
Do you ever... So what if one day, like, you decide to get freaky and you're drunk and you just take, like, a dick pic with your iPhone? You know that that's tracked forever, like, even if you delete it?
Of course
it,
I
like,
know, but... I always can't control myself as far as that I don't do that stuff.
All right, well, okay, well, you're all high and mighty. Great, you don't take dick pics. You're better than me. Are you saying you're better than me, Toby?
Of course. I'm not a person who posts a lot on Facebook.
Right.
I'm not doing that stuff. I'm using Facebook for my band stuff, to communicate with fans and tell them, hey, we're playing a concert or we're releasing a new album.
Yeah.
This is Facebook for, and to communicate with some friends who are living far away. You can just write with them, or now write with someone in Germany. It's very easy to use Facebook to share some pictures.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you think, Alex, that the younger generation is getting fucked up?
Well, I don't know, but I think Facebook is very useful and it's not a totally bad thing. For example, in my opinion, Facebook, the way Facebook work will replace in many years will replace email, for example.
Mm.
I think email will disappear, and company will use I think something like Facebook more. I don't know.
Like interactive and
more
versatile.
Yes, and Facebook is very interesting for communicate. Mm. We can't do the opposite. So I think yes, Facebook it's a good example of a new way to communicate, but it's not the best way to communicate. So I wait for the next generation of social network.
All right. Well, this has been an episode of Highway Diary. You know, this is my first one since being a grad student at the University of New Orleans, and I think I'm pretty excited about, you know, I'm going to spend 3 years here. It's cool. Look at on my couch, there's a guy from France, a guy from Germany, and a guy from the Czech Republic are my friends. You know what I mean? Like, for some. So it was pretty fucking cool, and I'm excited. Thanks for being on the podcast, Alex, and Toby, and Vorto was very quiet.
Thank you.
See you next time.